Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. And today, I'm really excited. This is one of my favorite shows of the year. Once or twice a year, we get Phil Steele in. College football guru, writer of the very popular college football magazine, Phil Steele's College Football Preview, which is in stores now. He joins us a couple of times a year to not only talk about the work that's gone into the book this season, but previewing what lies ahead for teams here in the state of Utah. So we'll talk BYU, Utah, Utah State, and of course we'll take a look at the landscape of college football as well. Who are the juggernauts? We know right now that right now on June 27th, I'm willing to say Clemson and Alabama will be in the college football playoff. We're going to be the other two teams. Now, if you picked up Phil's magazine, you know who he is predicting. But really, I think right now we have a group of teams competing for two spots. There's always a dark horse, you know, a wild card that jumps in. Last year it was Notre Dame, really shook things up. We only had three conferences represented because of Notre Dame getting in. And so, you know, every year there's that one team. Who's it going to be this season? We'll talk to Phil Steele. Again, I'm excited for that interview. Also joining us on the show today, it'll be USU Eastern men's assistant basketball coach Curtis Condi. Some great things happening at USU Eastern, a lot of exciting things as far as basketball goes. And we also have a skills clinic coming up relatively soon, so we'll talk to Coach Condi about that. Packed show, so I say we dive right into the headlines, and we will begin in the NBA. This is going to be a topic on the show tomorrow as we talk free agency, which is actually this Sunday in the league. But the Lakers made a massive move and statement today. Already having LeBron James under contract and then acquiring Anthony Davis and sticking with the contract of Kyle Kuzma with a few others wrapped in, the Lakers had about $20 to $23 million in cap space. They needed a little bit more. The Lakers did exactly that today. They maneuvered, found a creative way to garner a max free agency slot of $32 million. Rob Pelinka unloaded Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and Jamario Jones to the Washington Wizards. That makes the Anthony Davis deal with New Orleans now basically a three-team trade, although it could be four if you consider Atlanta grabbing that Laker pick at number four. But all three of those guys will move over to Washington. Okay, now Anthony Davis has also agreed to waive his $4 million trade bonus, which now gives the Lakers $32 million to bring in a max-level free agent, or if they want, they can divide that money among multiple people. Now, Anthony Davis and his agent Rich Paul worked with the Lakers on giving back the trade bonus so that they could invest in the team around he and LeBron James. The Lakers are sending a 2022 second-round pick to the Wizards as part of the three-team deal, and the Wizards will send the Pelicans cash. The trade will be official on July 6th. Does this mean that Kawhi Leonard's going to L.A.? I think the possibility is a little bit more realistic than many want to believe. I'm not saying that Kawhi is going to go to the Lakers, but I think Kawhi is going to listen. And in fact, right now, there are three teams that have set up meetings with Kawhi. He's going to meet with the Raptors. He'll let them give the final pitch. But he's also going to meet with the Lakers and the Clippers. And I know the Knicks are trying to work on a meeting right now. If I was the Raptors, I would be a little bit concerned right now. The Lakers obviously have to feel comfortable with the chance of landing Kawhi. And if it's not Kawhi, maybe the Lakers go out, they give a max spot to Jimmy Butler. That's possible. I think that if the Lakers offered Butler a max spot, he would come. Regardless, the Kawhi Leonard situation is now extremely interesting. And we have plenty to talk about tomorrow when we discuss free agency. Let's move over to Major League Baseball. We'll take a look at what's happening there. Plenty of day games Throughout the early morning and the afternoon, a lot of final scores to report on. The Philadelphia Phillies get the best of the New York Mets 6-3. Phillies now 5 games over .500 at 43-38. The Rangers defeat the Tigers 3-1. Pittsburgh blanking Houston in an interleague matchup. Joe Musgrove was dynamic today. Pittsburgh 10, Houston nothing in that final score. Milwaukee tops Seattle 4-2. That's another final from earlier today. Still to come, 5 o'clock, we get the Nationals at the Marlins. The Dodgers will travel to meet the Colorado Rockies. A 4-game set between the Dodgers and Rockies. Walker Buehler on the mound. He'll go up against Peter Lambert tonight. 7:45, Diamondbacks and Giants. Another NL West showdown. 7:45 start time of that contest. Nightcap tonight, the Angels will play host to the Oakland A's. Griffin Canning on the mound for the Angels. Tanner Anderson will till the rubber for Oakland, still looking for his first win this season. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Again, coming up on the show today, local-wise, we'll talk to Coach Curtis Condia, the USU Eastern men's basketball team, and we have a lot of college football chit-chat coming up. Phil Still will join us. All that and more straight ahead when we return on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the baseball diamond, where yesterday the Helper American Legion squad traveled on the road to meet Timpanogos in doubleheader action. Putting their unbeaten league record on the line, Helper came out on top of the first contest 11-5. However, the second game ended in a 5-5 tie as the game was called due to darkness. Now, Helper right now sits 7-0 in league play. They will have an opportunity to string two more wins together when they return home this weekend for doubleheader action. Live contests will begin at 6 p.m. and the second game will follow immediately after. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on the Helper American Legion team tomorrow. Now we stick with the baseball diamond, but we move over to Price. And this afternoon, the Price Raptors will wrap up the 2019 summer season as they play host to doubleheader action at the USU Eastern Baseball Field. Price has yet to win a contest this year as they have competed in the 17 and under American Legion division. Again, the final two games of the season will take place today at home, beginning at 4 p.m. The second game will follow immediately after. It is rodeo season here in the Castle Country. The Heritage Days Rodeo will be taking place tomorrow and Saturday at the Huntington Fairgrounds. This is a fun event for the whole family, and it will feature all the traditional rodeo events. The cost is $8 for adults. Kids ages 13 to 17 will be $5, and 12 and under are free. There is also a family pass available for $20, and that will include a family of five. All the rodeo action will get underway at 8 p.m. on both evenings. Now, jumping ahead, coming up on July 12th and 13th, it'll be the 69th annual Sunnyside Rodeo. This event is a tradition for many in our community. And again, it will go down July 12th and 13th, and it'll kick off each night at 8 p.m. Admission is only $8 for adults, and kids 6 and under will get in for free. There will be concessions, chicken chases, the dash for cash, hide races, bull riding, and a whole lot more. The annual Sunnyside Rodeo has become a tradition for the old-school feel and the old-school look of the rodeo grounds. Again, the 69th annual Sunnyside Rodeo will take place July 12th and 13th. We move over to high school football, and the Carbon Dinos have continued their off-season workout program, which is stretched over the month of June with multiple camps traveling out of the area for 7-on-7s, including the Ute Shoot, which took place at the beginning of the month, followed by a trip to Blanding. The team is now in their routine off-season workouts, which include weightlifting and 7-on-7 on the football field. And the team is gearing up for Camp Carbon, which will begin on July 11th. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by head football coach Josh Huntsman, and he talked about the way the team performed at the two 7-on-7 camps in Salt Lake and in Blanding.
We were one of four 3A schools there. There was only one 2A school there, and so we ended up playing some bigger schools. But, you know, it was definitely a good experience for our kids, but definitely a steep learning curve. Our kids came out, they competed, they did everything that they could. But, you know, sometimes you get into those. We took, I think, 16 kids, and you have teams that will show up, and they'll pay the extra fee, and they'll bring 30, 40 kids, and they can just roll in kids like crazy, and we're playing kids both ways quite often in that tournament.
You can get a complete schedule of the Carbon High School off-season workouts by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Just click on the local sports link. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. It's a Thursday edition of the show. KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Today we're going to talk local basketball and some local football. And joining us in the studio to do that, we have USU Eastern Assistant Men's Coach Curtis Condi. And Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you in the studio. Thank you again.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks so much.
Definitely. I know it's been a busy summer for the basketball team, to say the least, but a fun one at that. You guys recently played host to a high school team camp. Very entertaining. Carbon and Emory were a part of it. I know Emory ended up winning on the varsity side of things.
Correct.
Brought down a couple of other schools. All in all, it was a fun week.
It was. It was. We had over 20 teams here. We used the BDAC, and we used both gyms at Carbon High School. We had all three local teams, Pinnacle, Carbon, and Emory, all involved. With the team camp, and then we had, you know, American Fork was able to come down there, the 6A state champs. We had Layton Christian come down there, the 2A state champs. Skyline, you know, which is a very good 5A program. Anybody that knows, you know, high school athletics in the Salt Lake area knows about Skyline. Canyon View came up from, came up from Cedar City. So, you know, all in all, it was a great, you know, great event, you know, and it's just something that we're going to build and make better each year.
Coach, I'd love to get your assessment on some of the local teams. Again, I mentioned Emory did win at the varsity level, and I remember talking to you after day one. You were impressed by what you saw from Emory.
Well, you know, Coach Jeffs has a, you know, he's got a program that's set up there. Those kids do such a great job of driving and making the extra pass. You know, you see other teams where they drive and they force up a shot. Well, you know, I haven't shot in a while, so it's my turn to shoot. And where, you know, Coach Jeffs has just done a great job, and those kids have bought in of, you know, making the extra pass, hitting the open man, and having that person take the shot.
And they did a very good job, I know, over the course. They lost one game, and that was right at the end.
Right at the end. Layton Christian beat them on a buzzer beater.
Yeah. And Carbon, we had an opportunity to look at the Dinos under new head coach Jared Butler. It's always fun to see a new head coach kind of at work, especially one that we're familiar with here in the Castle Country. It was nice to get to see Carbon here as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to shy away. It was nice for me because, you know, I got to see my son play.
Yeah, there you go. And then getting Pinnacle involved as well, as you mentioned, three teams in the local area. Coach, a lot goes into bringing in a team camp, but going back to prior conversations, you guys have put an emphasis on making sure that there's more high school-related basketball activities here in the Castle Country. This was just the beginning of it.
Correct. Correct. But that's the way we get our school's name out. You know, kids go back to their, you know, their homes and see their friends and say, hey, I had a great time at Utah State University Eastern. Price is a great town. You know, we want to get more people to come and visit. You know, that's the whole thing. We can't have the Monroe Doctrine when it comes to our basketball program or as a school. We have to go out and expand and let people know. That's why you need you need coaches out there recruiting all the time so they can see that Utah State University Eastern is interested in the kids in the Wasatch Front.
Coach, what are some of the other basketball events that we can expect at USU Eastern and at the BDAC in the coming months? I know there's more in the works, right?
Right. You know, we've got the 3A second-round games are at our place. We've got – I'm trying to build, again, what's done out of state a lot more than done in the in-state, but with the new playoff RPI or whatever they're going to, hopefully we can build this up. But we've got – on Martin Luther King Day, we've got Carbon versus Layton Christian at our place, and trying to get some more, you know, teams to buy into doing a 1-day event. Those are big in California, Nevada, and on the East Coast, your basketball playing type states. You know, basketball coaches in Utah are kind of hard to get to break traditions, especially around region time and all that. But, you know, I think now with the RPI trying to set up games, you know, kind of like you see during the NCAA play in Division I, you see, you know, Kentucky playing Oklahoma State at a neutral site in January. You know, things like that. You know, kind of like a state tournament type preview type thing. Trying to get that. I'm also trying to, you know, work something in the works of getting maybe some fall games played in our building as well. And then the other thing is in July, we're hosting it, even though it really doesn't pertain to basketball. It more has to do with all athletics. On July 20th, we have, you know, the former NFL and that school in Provo running back, Jamal Willis, who's a good friend of mine, who does this for kind of his side hustle. He trains kids. And if you follow him on Twitter, you'll see he has you know, players from that school in Provo and Utah State and Snow College that train with him that are from the Wasatch Front, and also baseball players, soccer players, track and field athletes, basketball players that work on their footwork with him, getting those athletes to be faster.
And we did talk to Coach Huntsman yesterday, actually, on the show about that. Expect Carbon and Emery to be there. These kids are going to participate in this camp, and why not? As you mentioned, it's geared more towards all athletics, not just one specific sport, but there also is just a running back camp as well.
Correct. It's not just running backs, it's skill position
ball
players.
Ball carriers, sure.
Yeah, people that, you know, the people that carry the ball, that get all the publicity. We all know if you don't have an offensive line or a defensive line, it doesn't matter. You've got to have those guys. But this is for there's a second section of the camp that's set up for the ball carriers. And working with their footwork. But, you know, if you're a soccer player, if you're a track athlete, if you're a basketball player, if you're a volleyball player, you want to come to this camp because he's going to show you some things that you can do every day in your backyard or in your front yard or on the court that are going to help you with your footwork. He's really good at that, you know, and this is a guy that's mastered that craft. He's the best in the state at teaching kids and athletes how to get faster.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Curtis Condi, the USU Eastern men's basketball assistant coach. Coach, we can kind of go away from high school athletics. We can talk about the upcoming basketball season, because here in about a month, kids are going to be reporting. I know you guys do have a full roster right now. Things have moved forward. Coach Vando is going to be out of the country for about a month. And so basically, you and Coach Jones are going to be monitoring everything going on with the basketball program. What's the schedule, the time frame like for the basketball season right now? Some of the things that are coming up on the agenda.
Well, the biggest thing that I've had to change now is I've gone into recruiting. It started in the spring. Well, it started back in the fall, but I'm now, you know, really concentrated on 2020 and 2021 recruiting, and finding those student athletes, you know, within our footprint and with the connections that we have of bringing on. Now, we only have three sophomores right now in the program, but when you're dealing with kids that are going to go on missions, you know, you've got to look at that. So, you know, and using that with the roster of, okay, who's coming back when for missions and things like that. So that's a big thing right now. But the kids will report towards the end of August, you know, coming here. But I've been in contact with them, making sure they're working out, that they don't show up here out of shape. It's not like baseball. It's not like back in the old baseball days where they would show up, you know, to spring training to get into shape. No, we've got to be in shape right away. I told one young man yesterday, I said, okay, think about the best shape you've ever been in your life, times it by 10, and that's what you need to be when you show up on campus on August 24th.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, right, for a lot of these kids. It's not high school ball anymore.
Oh, no. No, and the weight room, what people don't understand, the weight room is a huge thing. My 4 years at Louisiana Tech, I got to, you know, be around everybody's favorite jazz player, Karl Malone, and he had a statement: if you're searching for your next breath, you do your team no good. You know, Carl told me that he didn't touch a ball until a couple weeks before training camp. It was always about getting himself in great shape. Who's the all-time leading scorer in the NBA?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And everybody knows he had that skyhook.
Yep.
And then he had the one move, if you took away the skyhook, the turnaround jumper. Mm-hmm. And he was a decent free throw shooter.
Yep.
Okay. What was Carl's move?
15-foot fadeaway jump shot.
Well, yeah, that got later, but basically all he did was beat you down the court and bury you and score.
The physical attributes of Karl Malone, he was a bruiser.
And that's what he did. You know, and if you talk to Carl could have been the all-time leading scorer. But he'll tell you, and it's my fault, I missed too many free throws. So if we can get our guys into great shape, that's when we can teach them. we got to get our guys into great shape. You know, we've got one in town, and he's working out at night. He works full time because he's married, and then he works out at night. And you know, with that, and you know, Zach's doing a great job with him in the strength conditioning. And he does a great. Zach does a tremendous, tremendous job with our team. You know, we're very fortunate to have Zach as our strength conditioning coach for athletics. He does just a phenomenal job at this level. To have a guy like him is amazing. And so, you know, that's the biggest thing right now. And for some of we've got a lot of freshmen coming in, and it's going to be a little change. You know, because now they're playing with men. You come to junior college, you think, oh, you know, people think junior college, well, if you made your varsity team, you should be able to play. No, you have to be really good. Just because you're all state doesn't mean you can play at the JC level.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
There's a huge difference. And now you're playing with men. Now you're playing with guys that are married. Now you're playing with 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds. And as we all know that we're getting older, there's a difference when you have your kid body and you get that man strength in you. There's a big difference, and you get smarter. I mean, let's be honest. When we were teenagers, we didn't think our parents knew anything. We get 22, 23, our parents become geniuses.
Right.
And it's the same thing when you mature on the court as well.
Well, Coach, I do always appreciate you stopping by to talk a little bit about what's happening. Again, you guys have done some great things as far as the high school activities associated with basketball. Thank you again. I know we'll be talking relatively soon. August is not that far off.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, pretty soon we got to talk about who's going to be the third, fourth, fifth guy, sixth guy with the Lakers.
I think we should get some of that news hopefully this weekend.
Yeah, I would agree. But, you know, I still can't take the smile off my face that Anthony Davis is.
You called it about a year. You called it about a year and a half ago. They get Kawhi. That's the question. Is Kawhi coming?
Oh, don't even get me started on that. We could be here all. We could be here all day. If Kawhi's, let's just put it this way: it's bad enough Jazz fans don't want to see me right now with Anthony Davis. If Kawhi comes, I don't think a Jazz fan will talk to me for 10 years.
Well, they could sign you and Coach Jones, and they'd still win a championship if they were to bring Kawhi.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Coach, thank you again.
Thank you.
We'll break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to talk college football. We'll have Phil Still, college football guru, and of course, author of the magazine, Phil Still's College Football Preview, which is out on bookstore shelves now. He's going to join us. We'll talk Utah, BYU, Utah State, and the landscape of the 2019 college football season when we return.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
As we get towards the end of June, it's about time for football. It's definitely my favorite time of the year, and this is one of my favorite interviews of the year. We're going to talk college football. One of the top topics, of course, you'll be able to listen to the Utah Utes all season long right here on KOAL. The Utes will open up the season against BYU, first time in about 100 years. That has happened. Joining us right now over the phone to talk college football, we have the guru of the sport, Phil Still, and of course you can get Phil Still's College Football Preview magazine, which is out right now. It's the Bible of college football. Phil, as always, it's a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you so much for the time today.
Hey, a real pleasure, Jordan. Always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, I always look forward to this. And before we dive into the nuts and bolts of a couple of college football teams, we'll start by talking about the magazine. You have to have this in the off season. I know you do in-depth research and coverage. For those who are unaware of Phil Still's College Football Magazine, I don't know that there's too many that don't know anything about it. But still, Phil, you do a tremendous amount of work all year long prepping for the upcoming college football season.
Yeah, that's, you know, we start the magazine the Saturday after the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and when some team seasons are complete, and then we spend 6 months working on this. Got a staff of about 15 folks that work for me, and for 6 months we are on a constant deadline trying to get this thing to the press. We go through three write-throughs on the magazine. The first one's a postseason write-through, the second one's a pre-spring write-through, and the final one is after I get to talk to the coaches and go over each team with them. Talked to about 110 of the 130 head coaches this year, and I got all my players in the right order. And if you open up the cover of a magazine and flip to a team page, we've got the same amount of coverage on Utah State and BYU that we do on Alabama and Oklahoma. Two full pages, all the information, same spot, same page. I feel it's got 3 to 4 times the amount of information of any other college football preview magazine out there.
There's no question. There's no question. And Phil, for those who can't necessarily get out, or maybe the book is not, or the magazine's not available in their area, of course, you can order it on philstill.com. And you guys also have digital magazines as well.
That's right. You know, it's available at all the five bookstores out there, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Books A Million, CVS, Target, Walgreens, Public, places like that. But as you mentioned, if you go to philstill.com, that's STEELE.com, you can order the magazine there with the cover of your choice. And you can also, as you just touched on, excuse me, if you click in the upper left-hand corner under Digital Magazines, you can get it downloaded to your iPad or your iPhone, your Android device, your Kindle device, or even your computer. And once you get it downloaded to one of those, you've got access to it on all of them. If you get both copies, the hard copy as well as the downloadable copy, it saves a little bit of wear and tear on your pages because folks use this magazine all throughout the season.
Absolutely. I know we do here at Drive Time Sports. It's kind of a must as far as college football season goes. Phil, let's dive into it. We'll start with the Utah Utes. I know that they are projected favorites in the Pac-12 South, maybe rightfully so. I mean, if you take a look at the 12 games on schedule this year, they're favored in, I believe, 10 or 11 of them. Tyler Huntley, Jason Shelley coming back. You have Zach Moss. I mean, offensively, there's a lot to get excited about with this Utah Ute team. And then, of course, if we talk about Kyle Whittingham, two things we know all the time. Special teams is going to be very good, and defensively, they're going to be stout, even though they have lost a couple of key contributors. Give me your take on the Utah Utes for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I'm extremely bullish on Utah this year, despite the fact they're coming off 7-6 and 9-5 seasons. And I'm going to talk about Notre Dame first. And the reason I'm going to is last year Notre Dame was my number one surprise team in the country, or a non-top 10 team that I thought could actually make the playoff. Well, the Irish opened the season number 12 AP. They finished in the playoff. This year, my number one surprise team, it's the Utah Utes. And here's what I like about them, Jordan. As you touched on last year, Tyler Huntley, their quarterback, Zach Moss, the star running back, both go down with injury, five games to go. Yet Utah still got to the Pac-12 title game, still gave Washington everything they wanted in that game, and probably should have won the bowl game. They looked like they were in complete control in the first half. Then came the rain and the turnovers in the second half and turned into a loss and a five-loss season for the Utes. Well, Huntley's back, Moss is back, the receiving corps should be one of the better receiving corps Whittingham has fielded here, led by Britton Covey. And then you look at the offensive line. Once again, three starters back, NFL-caliber left tackle and Paulo. I think they're in good shape there. What I love about the Utes this year is their defense. I have them the number one rated defensive line in college football. They go 10 or 11 deep on the D-line. Of those 11, probably 6 or 7 have NFL talent. I'm talking about Bradley and Ney, Pennacini, Fotu, players like that. Linebacking core solid. Bernard's back. Guidry's back. They add in a Manny Bowen, who comes over from Penn State. That's a huge plus. Jalen Johnson, a shutdown corner. Julian Blackman, outstanding free safety. So they have one of the best defenses in the country. And then, as you touched on again, anytime Kyle Whittingham is coaching a team, they're going to have an outstanding special team. So they really are a complete team. And then you factor in the schedule. Remember last year, part of the reason that Utah wasn't as thought of as highly in the preseason was the fact they had a brutal schedule. They drew all the top four teams out of the Pac-12 North. Well, this year, they get to avoid Oregon. They avoid Stanford. They get Washington State at home. The schedule gets a little bit easier. They go from 5 Pac-12 road games to 4. Add it all up, I think they're a threat. Pac-12 hasn't made the playoff for a couple of years. I think Utah's a threat to be that team. Key games of the season at USC, at Washington. If they can take care of business there, look out for Utah this year.
Phil, the one question, and I know you don't have a crystal ball, you can't predict this into the future, but the one thing that has plagued the Utes for quite some time, at least as long as I've been here covering the Utes, it's finding stability at the quarterback spot. And when I say stability, I'm talking about someone staying healthy. You mentioned the injury issues again last year at quarterback. I mean, that's got to be key this year for the Utes as well. Tyler Huntley's health is going to be a big question mark, I think, throughout the year. If that's an issue for Utah moving forward, I don't know, because again, we did get to see Jason Shelley, but at the same time, that's been an issue for the Utes, keeping a quarterback out on the field.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, you go back to last year, though, when Huntley went down, all of a sudden you're taking a guy that hasn't played before and Jason Shelley and throwing him into the lineup. And as Shelley would end up starting the last five games last year with uneven results, five touchdown passes, six interceptions. But now You look at Shelley, and he's now got experience, which is huge, because if he's called upon this time, heck, the guy started 5 college games already. He's been there. He's played in the bowl. He's played in the Pac-12 title game, for crying out loud, and also had games against BYU and Oregon. So he'd be a much better prepared quarterback, I feel, to take the field. And then there's also Cam Rising, who you got to keep an eye on, the redshirt freshman. He's probably more of a pocket passer, but he does have some run ability, and he's trying to apply for an eligibility to be immediately eligible. If that happens, he's coming over from Texas. I think he could be a big-time plus.
Again, we're being joined right now by Phil Still. He's the author of the Phil Still's College Football Preview Magazine, which is in stores right now. We're talking about the Utah Utes. Phil, you mentioned last year Utah getting to the Pac-12 championship game despite some of the injuries. Not taking anything away from the Utes, but it seemed like that was a little bit more of an indictment on the Pac-12 South last season, not the best of competition. How much improved will the Pac-12 South as a whole be this year?
Well, I think they're definitely going to be improved. In fact, stating how improved they are over the last 2 years, Jordan, I have called the Pac-12 the fifth conference out of the Power Five conferences, the fifth best conference. And all you have to do is look at the non-conference records, the bowl records. It's pretty obvious the Pac-12 has had a couple of off years. Well, this year, I've actually got the Pac-12 as the number three conference heading into the season. And you could go top to bottom in the Pac-12 South. Start with Arizona. Arizona's going to have Khalil Tate healthy this year. When I talked to Coach Sumlin in the spring, it wasn't just a change of the offense that limited Tate's running ability. It was mostly his banged up. He was really banged up all of last year with his ankle injury, and I think you're going to see a 100% Khalil Tate, which means he's going to be more of a runner. Arizona's going to have that dynamic offense. They've got Schooler back at linebacker. They're going to be tough. UCLA, under Chip Kelly, started out really poor last year. Got better as the season went on. Now they're in the second year of Chip Kelly. He's chased off a lot of players, and when that happens, generally you see the players that stay have bought in pretty well. UCLA also makes my most improved list with Arizona State. Eno Benjamin's back. I think steps in for N'Keal Harry and does a good job at the wide receiver spot. They're dangerous at the offensive line and on defense. And USC vastly improved over last year. Last year, of course, a 5-7 season. But JT Daniels was a true freshman quarterback and thrown into the fire. Had a 14-10 ratio. Now this year, JT Daniels is a veteran quarterback and he's got a tremendous set of receivers to throw to. All guys are potential first, second, or third round picks in St. Brown, Vaughns, Pittman, Williams, and they also go into the more pass-happy offense with Graham Harrell stepping in as the offensive coordinator. So I think all the teams in the South are pretty much improved this year, but so are the Utah Utes. I think Utah's a team that's capable of really making some strides.
Let's move over and talk about BYU. This is a very crucial year for Kalani Sitake. 9-4, 4-9, 7-6. Maybe last year buys himself another season. If you look at this BYU team, Phil, in my mind, they are going to be improved. I really like Tyson Williams coming over. It gives them a jolt, I guess, coming out of the backfield. But if we take a look at BYU front to back, one of the things that would worry me if I was a BYU fan, they have an extremely tough schedule. You get Utah, USC, Washington, Tennessee, Toledo, South Florida, Boise State, and even Utah State, who I think is going to be much improved. Give me your thoughts on BYU going into the season.
Yeah, I think when you look at BYU, as you touched on, they have to survive that first four games of the season. Utah at Tennessee, USC and Washington, and they're the only team in the country to open up with 4 Power 5 opponents in the first four games. And then you follow it up with road trips to Toledo, who I favor to win the MAC West, USF, which is a much improved team this year, and Boise State at home. And you find it tough to favor BYU in very many games in the first 7. But I like the talent of this year's squad, starting with quarterback Zach Wilson. Great bowl game for Zach Wilson, but overall a good season. I think when you look at him after taking over the starting QB, there was a big upgrade there. He had 66% of his passes with a 12-3 ratio. You touched on Tyson Williams, and I think the South Carolina transfer could beat out Katoa as the top running back, and Katoa gives you nice depth at that position. Remember last year he averaged 5.6 yards per carry. Receiving core looks solid. Matt Bushman is going to be one of the best tight ends in the country this year, and the offense defensive line's got 4 starters returning. Defensively, good talent dispersed throughout. In fact, I rate BYU's defense number 35 on the D-line, number 47 at linebacker, and number 23 at DB. So good talent throughout there. And the special teams is solid. The schedule's the big-time question, but we saw last year BYU went on the road, took on number six Wisconsin, beat them. They can beat anybody on the schedule, but there's a lot of tough opponents this year.
Yeah, it is very, very daunting, to say the least, when you take a look at the seven games that we had mentioned, and of course that first month as well. You were talking about the defense, and Phil, one of the things that always stands out to me with BYU is secondary's been a cause of concern nonetheless over the last couple of seasons, and of course some playmakers on the outside. From a speed standpoint, how much better is this BYU team than what we've seen over the last 3 years under Kalani Sitake?
Definitely much faster. You take a look at players like Zane Anderson, Chris Wilcox. These are guys that bring speed to the defense, and that's been one of the upgrades that Coach Sitake has been looking for. And you know, players like that coming in, I think you're going to see this team be much faster on the defense than what they have been. And I think that pass defense will make big-time strides. A lot of experienced personnel in the pass D for them. And I think getting a guy like Austin Kafensis moving over there, I think that's going to be a plus as well as he adapts to his second year in the secondary.
Well, we'll talk about one more Utah team before we take a quick commercial break. Utah State, Gary Anderson, he's back in Logan. Matt Wells, the Matt Wells era, we could say, is now over as he has moved on to Texas Tech. Tell me about Utah State, Phil.
Well, Utah State's a lot less experienced than they were last year. Last year, they were number 16 in the country in my experience chart. This year, they're number 124, whereas last year, they had 9 returning starters on offense. This year, they're down to 2. Defensively, last year, they had returned 84% of their tackles. This year, they returned just 46% of their tackles. And, of course, last year, Utah State sort of reached a peak. They got to 11 wins. Fantastic season. Came down to the Boise State game to determine the Mountain West title. And I was a huge Utah State advocate last year. Everybody asked me who my favorite teams are. I always say it's the teams I pick higher than everybody else. So I had Utah State as my number 2 most improved team in the country last year, and they lived up to that reputation, going from a 6-7 season all the way up to 11-2. Now this year, I think Utah State will still be good, no doubt about it. You look at the talent they have: Jordan Love at quarterback, Gerald Bright at running back, and good talent dispersed on the defense with Galea and Woodward at the linebacker position. They're solid up front and in the secondary, but I don't know if they're going to be as good as last year. And the schedule gets a little bit tougher. They have to play Wake Forest, San Diego State, LSU all on the road, Air Force on the road, Fresno State on the road, and host Boise State and BYU. So I think we're definitely going to see a drop in record for Utah State this year. I'm not saying they can't contend in the Mountain, but I think with the experience level that they have and the much tougher schedule that they have this year, factors are pointing down a little bit. I've got them coming in 3rd in the Mountain West Mountain Division.
Phil Steele, again, college football guru, joining us right now. Make sure you get the magazine, Phil Steele's College Football Preview. It is in stores right now. Phil, I would love to have one more segment with you. We can kind of talk about some of the juggernauts, the traditionals, you know, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the Notre Dames. Do you have time for one more segment with us?
You got it, Jordan. Anything for you, buddy.
Ah, fantastic, Phil. Thank you so much. We have more coming up with Phil Steele here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios as we are talking college football, which is right around the corner. We have Phil Steele, college football guru, on with us right now. Again, I can't stress this enough. Get out and get the magazine, Phil Steele's College Football Preview. You'll use it throughout the entire year. And, of course, you can also go to philsteele.com and get the digital magazine as well. Phil, I appreciate you hanging around for another segment with us. Thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Jordan. Love talking football, especially in the great state of Utah. You know, I found through the magazine is that Utah is an underrated state for college football. I probably do, we're probably ranked number 4, number 5 on the states that I do radio shows in. So love the fact that Utah fans love their college football.
No, we definitely do. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk about the teams that we would expect to make a major impact. And we will start with the Clemson Tigers. Right now, it's all sunshines and rainbows for Dabo. Of course, he has Trevor Lawrence coming back this season. He's got to be the Heisman favorite. in a lot of people's minds. You know, if he could have left college and went to the NFL, he probably would have done that. May have been the top pick in the draft. When you look at Clemson, how good are they going to be this upcoming season?
Very good. They're going to open up the season number one. They're going to dominate their games, and they're going to finish the regular season number one to be the number one team for the playoff. You know, when I look at Clemson this year, your biggest question mark jumps out at you. Who's going to replace that defensive line? They lose three first-round draft picks off the D-line and a fourth-round draft pick, but I still rate their defensive line number five in the country. Get to know these names. Xavier Thomas, Justin Foster, two big-time names on the D-line. They're going to be good. The rest of the defense, solid throughout. And then you look at them offensively, and holy smokes, Trevor Lawrence, who lit up Alabama's defense in the championship game, now a true sophomore. And I think you hit it correctly on the head. Had he come out in the draft this year, he would have been the first quarterback taken. Travis Etienne, a running back, my number two receiving core in the country. And the offensive line, I rate number three in the country. In fact, when you look at Clemson's schedule this year, Jordan, they will be at least a 17-point favorite in every single game this year. So if you're looking for one team that's pretty much a cinch to get there at the end of the year, you'd have to put Clemson right at the top.
Right below them would have to be Alabama, and I know that there are some new faces as far as the coaching staff goes, even if Steve Sarkisian, we've seen him around the Alabama team now for a while. But still, when you look at Bama and you go back to the national championship game, some things that went wrong. What do you expect from Bama coming into this season, Phil?
44-16 chip on their shoulder, Jordan. You know, when they finished the regular season last year, people were blowing smoke and saying, hey, is this the greatest team of all time? Alabama just pretty much flat-out dominated everybody in the regular season. And even Coach Saban alluded to it. It's a team that maybe started reading their press clippings a little bit, thinking that they were better than everybody else. And then the postseason happened, and they barely got past Georgia. Struggled more than you thought they would with Oklahoma and got destroyed by Clemson. Well, this year, Alabama is a more talented team. Tua Tagovailoa, who was pretty much handed the Heisman Trophy during the regular season, didn't end up winning it, but he is back. You look at the receiving corps led by Jerry Jeudy, who's the Blitnikoff winner. They've got the best set of receivers in the country. Offensive line, I rate number six in the country. That's a very good offense. They will contend with Clemson for most explosive offense. Now, defensively last year, if you looked at Alabama, they only had three returning starters. This year, they have six. It's going to be back to your typical Alabama defense. They're also solid on special teams this year at number 18. Now, they've got a few more landmines on the schedule than does Clemson, but they'll be a double-digit favorite in every single game this year. Toughest places are at Texas A&M and, of course, the Iron Bowl in Jordan-Hare at Auburn. But I think when you look at Alabama talent schedule-wise, they should run the table for a second consecutive year. Maybe Tua actually plays in the fourth quarter of some of these games, and I think when they get to the postseason, they're going to have that 44-16 chip on their shoulder.
I want to talk about another team from the playoffs last year, Oklahoma. In 2 years, Lincoln Riley's produced two number one picks, two Heisman Trophy winners, and they've gone to the postseason. This year, he gets Jalen Hurts. I don't know that there's a more interesting individual story in college football right now than Lincoln Riley and Jalen Hurts, Phil. To me, this is just, it's so out of the ordinary, right? To have a coach that's pegged as a quarterback guru grab someone like Jalen Hurts, who was surprisingly very good through the air last year at times for Alabama.
Yeah, I agree. We saw a lot of improvement passing-wise for Jalen Hurts, hitting 73% of his passes, and you're like, wow, where did that come from? And he really worked at his craft last year, got himself a better quarterback, and now steps into the perfect situation. And, you know, last year, Jordan, when I was on the radio show circuit, I made a very strong statement. I felt very good about it. I said, Kyler Murray's a good quarterback, but let's face it, he's not going to match Baker Mayfield's stats from last year. Mayfield was a Heisman Trophy winner, for crying out loud. And then Lincoln Riley goes and makes me a liar. I told Coach that when I talked to him. And Kyler Murray probably surpassed Baker Mayfield's stats. So I'm hesitant to say there's going to be a big drop-off at the quarterback position this year. And it's the most accomplished of the three transfer quarterbacks he's had coming in. Jalen Hurts, 24-2 as a starter. You got to love that. And a better passer. He's got dangerous receivers to throw to. His top-notch running backs. My two biggest question marks with Oklahoma, A, would be the defense, which will be improved this year. And and B, the offensive line. You know, last year they had the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line. They were dynamic. When I talked to Coach Riley, he said that might have been an offensive line that comes around once every 20 years. This year they have one returning starter on the offensive line. So how quickly that unit comes together will be the big factor here on the offense for Oklahoma. But they're in good shape. They'll probably be favored in all their games this year. Could very well get back in the playoff again, and who knows? Will it be Heisman Trophy winner number three in a row?
We'll talk about that other team that got to the playoffs last year, Notre Dame. And you mentioned Notre Dame last segment as they were your surprise pick, your dark horse team. I remember having that conversation with you last year, and I like Notre Dame to get to the playoffs last season as well, but I thought it would be a different path. I thought it would be with a completely different quarterback. Unfortunately, that didn't work out for Notre Dame, but it looks as if they have found their guy in Ian Book. Are the Irish a legitimate threat to get back to the playoffs, Phil? I know that if you take a look at the spring performance, Jafar Armstrong looked very, very good, should fill in nicely for Dexter Williams. Lost a little bit of talent defensively with Jerry Tillery and Julian Love. How much of a threat are the Irish going to be to getting back into the postseason, or back into the playoffs, I should say?
I have Notre Dame just as good as they were last year. I think when you look at them, you know, my biggest question mark is you touch on Julian Love, because we saw what a difference he made. The first quarter they played Clemson pretty much even up. Julian Love goes out of the lineup, and all of a sudden Clemson turns the game into a rout and they lose. Replacing Julian Love is going to be big, but I think the defense will be able to compensate, and I think they'll be just as good as last year's defense. And offensively, with Ian Book back, probably just as good as last year's offense. But I'm not as bullish on their chances making the playoff this year, and a lot of it has to do with the schedule. They have to play Georgia on the road, Michigan on the road, and Stanford on the road. And Stanford, the home team, has done extremely well in that series. Last year was a really bad situation for Stanford. They were coming off an overtime game on the road, having to travel again on the road, and Notre Dame handled them easily. This year, they get Notre Dame at home that final game of the season. So those are three real tough tests. I think to make the playoff, Notre Dame would probably have to win all three, or worst-case scenario, two of the three. And I don't know if they can do that. So I think Notre Dame's just as talented as last year, but no, I do not think they make the playoff.
If they lose one game, do they get in?
Possibility. It depends. They can't have conference champs with one loss. There's a lot of question at that particular point. I think they had one loss last year, and you know, the possibility exists that they might not have got in.
Phil, we'll move on to talk about Ohio State before I let you go, because the Urban Meyer era is now done. Yet Ohio State picked extremely high, and we know there's a lot of talent coming back. And a lot of the preseason polls like Ohio State, despite the fact that they did lose Dwayne Haskins. And again, no Urban Meyer. Talk to me about Ohio State and what to expect from this team this season.
Well, last year was an unusual team, because in Urban Meyer's tenure at Ohio State, they had never had back-to-back games where they had less than 200 yards rushing. And last year, eight times, they rushed for 155 yards or less. And so they really had a different type of offense last year. Dwayne Haskins threw for nearly 5,000 yards, had 50 touchdown passes. And defensively, it wasn't your typical Ohio State defense either. They gave up over 400 yards, which is highly unusual for them. Well, this year they got 9 starters back on D, which makes them tougher. And then you look at them offensively, I think they'll get back to running the ball with Justin Fields at QB. Not going to be anywhere near the pass threat they were last year, but they will be a better running team. Now, what I don't like about Ohio State, losing Urban Meyer would be one, and then second is the final game of the season. They have to play that one in Ann Arbor. And I think if you watched Ohio State all season long last year, they sort of played in fits and spurts. They weren't dominant in most games. They didn't play their best ball till the end of the year. Meanwhile, Michigan is a team that was dominant most of the year, crushing opponents on a weekly basis. They didn't crush Ohio State and Columbus, but I think they might be the better team this year, and they get them at home in Ann Arbor, where Jim Harbaugh's 24-4 as a head coach. And I think Michigan finally gets past Ohio State for the first time in the Harbaugh era, and it's the first time I'm calling for it. I picked Ohio State over Michigan each year since they joined the same division.
I know you don't ever want to give too much away, Phil, especially in the magazine, but can you give me your prediction, the four teams that you believe will play in the college football playoff this upcoming year?
Yeah, going way out on a limb here, Jordan, I'm going to say Alabama and Clemson make the playoff.
Okay.
Yeah, real question is probably, okay, who's joining Alabama and Clemson in the playoff? And I'm going to go with Michigan, which I just talked about. I think they have the talent and schedule to actually run the table this year. And then how about Georgia? Georgia's a team that a lot of folks felt should have been included in the playoff last year, despite their two losses. I think when you look at Georgia this year, they do run the table during the regular season. And even if they lose or Alabama loses in the SEC championship game, I think the loser can still make the playoffs. So I went with Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Georgia.
Boy, if the Utes were to win the Pac-12 championship with one loss and two SEC teams get into the college football playoffs, I think Utah Sports Talk Radio is going to be a lot of fun, Phil.
It sure would be. I'd be lighting up the phones. And like I said, I picked Utah as my number one surprise team this year, so I'm going to be a Utah Ute fan all season long.
Phil, it's always a pleasure to get you on to talk college football. Before I let you go, please give us all the information on where we can get the magazine.
Really appreciate that once again, Jordan. You can pick it up at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Books A Million, CVS, Target, Walgreens, Public, places like that, local grocery store, drug stores. Just get your hands on a copy, feel the weight of that thing, open it up and see it's got 3 to 4 times the amount of information. You can go online to philsteele.com, that's STEELE.com. When you go there, you can purchase the magazines in the store, which is in the upper left-hand corner, or the digital magazines, which is in the upper left-hand corner. I'll tell you how you can download it to your iPad or iPhone, your Android device, your Kindle device, or even your home computer. So that's philsteele.com. And finally, follow me on Twitter. It is at philsteele042. That's at philsteele042.
Phil, so appreciative of the time. Thank you so much once again. I know we'll be talking again soon, at least hopefully. Enjoy the college football season if we don't talk to you before then.
Sounds great, Jordan. Always enjoy our conversations, my friend.
Again, one of my favorite interviews of the year, Phil Steele talking college football here on Drive Time Sports. We are out of time on this edition of the show. Always fun to be along with you. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. We've made it to the end of the week. We'll talk NBA basketball tomorrow. We'll set up for what should be a very interesting weekend with free agency beginning on Sunday. That'll be on the show tomorrow. Do not forget, you can listen to Drive Time Sports on demand. Just head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com, click in the right-hand corner of the page, and you can listen to previous Drive Time Sports shows and interviews. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.